When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
I want to welcome you to our lowest moment on the Rico Bronya, or maybe our best moment. I don't know. It's up to you. We are giving you, for the first time ever, and hopefully the only time ever, a back-to-back Rico Bronya. This may not matter to you if you download our podcast the day after the fact, but we just finished doing a wonderful Wednesday night live recording of our Pete Alonso backup plan, of our Let's Respond to Your Trade Idea plan. And as we end the Rico Bronya, and Hoff and I are saying goodnight to each other and how much we love each other, I check my phone. And the Mets made a freaking move. So Hoff said, I think we should do another Rico. And because it's our 400th edition of the Rico Bronya, we figured, why the hell not? So minutes after we wrapped up episode number 399, for those consuming this live on YouTube, you have no life. For those that have downloaded another edition of the Rico Bronya, we welcome you back. The New York Mets signed Griffin Canning to a one-year deal. They're paying him about $4.5 million. Griffin Canning is a former Los Angeles Angel. He was traded to the Atlanta Braves for Jorge Soler, and then Atlanta decided to non-tender him. And the Mets had been linked to Canning a little bit as a potential option, and they have decided to sign him to this one-year deal at $4.5 million. So let me calm my fellow Met fan down with this. It's a calm down and it's also a warning. So we'll do a little bit of both. My calm down to my fellow Met fan would be, this is a depth option. The New York Mets right now are collecting depth options. They are going to have a six-man rotation in 2025. That has been confirmed by David Stearns. You heard it right here on the Rico when we were playing on everything he had to say at the winter meetings and everything he had to say. So they're going to have a six-man rotation. Right now, the Mets have four guys that are locked in to the six-man rotation. David Peterson, Kodai Senga, Frankie Montas, and Clay Holmes. That is it. Griffin Canning and his 4.78 career ERA, Griffin Canning and his 5.19 ERA from a year ago, is not a guaranteed rotation spot. I can't imagine that he is. So Griffin Canning, to me, joins Jose Budo. He joins Paul Blackburn. He joins Tylor Megill as depth options. When you look at it that way, no big deal. When you look at it that way, it's another one of those moments where maybe Jeremy Hefner takes this relatively young arm and molds him into something we have not seen yet in his days with the Angels. That is entirely possible, right? Jeremy Hefner does have a positive track record, especially off of last year. My warning is, the Mets know he's just a depth option. David Stearns and Steve Cohen, I think, are keenly aware that as high as they may be on Jeremy Hefner, as much as they may believe in Jeremy Hefner, and really what he did last year, which was truly great. I mean, Sean Manaea having the year he had, Luis Severino having the year he had, marvelous job. Okay? They know they need a big punch in this rotation. And we can debate who that guy is. I have suggested Luis Castillo. We just had a Rico, if you weren't tuning in, where we had a lot of trade ideas, and literally 97% of those trade ideas involve starting pitching, because that is the Mets' biggest need. And they, without a shadow of a doubt, need to add more certainty to this rotation. They know it. I know it. We all know it. So the signing of Griffin Canning, I would look at, maybe not in the same context as some of the other signings they've made over the last few days, the minor league signings that they've made, in which they bring in a guy like Brandon Waddle, who pitched last year in the KBO, or Jared Young, who also played in the KBO, or Chris Williams, a young catcher who was in the Twins organization. Those are depth moves, and those are guys that we'll talk more about when we get closer to spring training. Jared Young has a chance to make the roster as a bench player, and he put up some very good numbers at AAA last year and in the KBO. And Brandon Waddle is another experiment, 30-year-old left-hander, had some great success pitching overseas. Why not? I don't think Griffin Canning is necessarily on that level, but he's a depth option. That's what he is. So for every Met fan who's getting a little restless, and I understand why you're getting restless, this team has not made any major I feel good about moves other than Juan Soto. And that doesn't mean you had to hate Clay Holmes or Frankie Montas, but I think we have to admit, no matter how optimistic you are, those are moves with risks. Those are moves that are not certainties. Doesn't mean it's a bad move. Doesn't mean I didn't like the move. But the only move that they have made where you're like, yes, is Juan Soto. That's a good one. I mean, that's a damn good one. But I think that for many Met fans, you are starving for that move where you can say yes. Luis Castillo is a yes move. Corbin Burns, if they ever signed him, is a yes move. Re-signing Pete Alonso, yes move. Right now, this offseason, around Juan Soto, and that is a big gift, is a lot of ifs. A lot of, all right, Jeremy Hefner, here are some relatively young arms. In the case of Griffin Canning, a young arm, not as much with Clay and Frankie Montas. Hey, let's see what you can do with them.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But the reason I'm not going to get frustrated, I'm not going to yell and scream, is that I believe he's just a depth option. And depth options are good. David Stern said, if you listen to this Rico, not this one in particular, but a lot of the Ricos, when we were listening to all of what he said at the winter meetings, he said they're going to use a six-man rotation. He also said teams need, and this team needs, 7 to 10 arms, especially to get through a full major league season. And the Mets have some uncertainty in their rotation. Kodai Senga started one game last year. Okay? There's uncertainty about him. David Peterson missed the first half of the year with a hip issue. There's uncertainty about him. Clay Holmes is being converted into a starting pitcher. There is uncertainty about him. So you need to throw as much against the wall as humanly possible. And a 29-year-old in Griffin Canning, who's won a gold glove before, good defensive player, a guy who's got some level of success at the major leagues. He hasn't been great, but the guy went out and made 31 starts last year. He gives you that depth option, because right now you're talking about a bucket that includes Tylor Megill, that includes Jose Budo. And by the way, I'll tell you something else that this kind of stuff, if you're trying to read into it, tells me. It doesn't tell me they're not re-signing Sean Manaea. It doesn't tell me they're not trading for consistency in the rotation. You know what it actually kind of tells me? That maybe they're not going to buy relievers. That they may not add as many reliable relievers as possible. And the reason I say that is because Jose Budo was a really good reliever for part of the year last year. And we've mentioned it. Hey, is Jose Budo going to be a starter, or is he going to be a reliever? Well, the more depth options you add in the rotation, the more Paul Blackburns you have, the more Griffin Cannings you have, the more likely that while they may stretch Budo out in spring training, he's going to become a reliever. And once he becomes that reliever, he doesn't become a depth option. Maybe the same can be said about Tylor Megill, who I've been intrigued by a lot being pushed into that short relief role. So if you're reading into this, if you're trying to figure out, okay, what is going on here? They added another depth arm. What's the thought? I think thought number one is they have a lot of confidence in Jeremy Hefner. Thought number two is you never have enough starting pitching. And thought number three is they may be viewing Budo and McGill, especially with the free agents that are available at bullpen arms. They're not spending big money on Tanner Scott as much as we may want that. They're not doing that. They didn't trade for Devin Williams. So you look at the free agent market when it comes to relievers, and maybe they bring back a Phil Maton and a Ryan Stanek. Maybe. They pursued Jonathan Loaisiga before he stayed with the Yankees. Ultimately, the more depth arms they add, the more it may tell us Budo and McGill may be destined for the bullpen. While we're here, while we are doing a back-to-back, Rico, the Jared Young signing of the three minor signings they made over the last few days intrigues me the most. He's a left-handed bat. He plays a little bit of first base, a little bit of third base, can play the outfield. High on base guy. That's one of the stats that really jumps off the page, how many walks he draws. So Jared Young is certainly in play to make the major league roster. He very much is in play. I think Chris Williams as a catcher is just a depth option right now. I mean, Luis Torrens and Francisco Alvarez, barring injury, seems to be your locks to be behind the plate. And Brandon Waddle is another arm because over the course of a long season, as we know, you're going to go through how many different pitchers? You're going to go through tons of them. 30? I'm trying to remember what that number was last year. So it's throwing another arm for depth, not only at the major league level, but at the minor league level.
Who has the most, who is most likely to play in a playoff game out of all these guys they're signing?
Of which guys? Brandon Waddle, Jared Young, and Chris Williams?
Yes.
Most likely would probably be Jared Young because maybe he kind of becomes a solid Chris Taylor, Kiki Hernandez kind of bench player. If Brandon Waddle is pitching in the postseason, that'd be a major surprise. First of all, I'd say if he's pitching a lot, how the hell did we make the postseason?
Ev, I mean, dude, we just had this conversation and we were joking, but I'm actually starting to worry that they're buying too much into their freaking lab. I mean, listen, they invested a ton of money into it. It's worked out last year, but please, and if you're telling me that their depth is going to be they're getting all these starting pitchers and turn them into relief pitchers, I mean, show me where they've been effective most. Like, what innings are they most effective in? Because right now, no offense to Griffin Canning, but with an ERA close to, you know, five and a half.
I don't necessarily think they're turning Griffin Canning into a reliever. I think Jose Budo, who was a good reliever last year, is more likely today than any other day to be a reliever in 2025. Just reading the tea leaves on the kind of moves that they're making and the depth arms that they're adding. Look, we talked about it at the end of the season. What's Budo's role? That was one of the questions. Hey, what's Budo's role? Well, as I sit here today, I think it's more likely he's going to be a relief pitcher. He's going to be a guy who maybe has to get big outs in the seventh or eighth inning. And I know it didn't end well for him, but for a chunk of last year, he was one of their better relievers. I'm not willing to give up Jose Budo as a reliever, but I'm just reading the tea leaves on the arms that they're adding. If they don't add a real, I don't even want to say ace, because I don't think Sean Manaea is an ace necessarily, but if they don't add a more top of the rotation arm, a guy with a little bit more certainty, it would be massively disappointing because I think you would be really rolling the die that, boy, Jeremy Hefner is going to hit it even more out of the park next year. Because Sean Manaea and Luis Severino as guys that were reclamation projects, that to me is less surprising than Clay Holmes and Frankie Montas, you know? So I think it would be the ultimate heat check, but I think they realize they need to add another arm. One idea that's been floated, and it's not a real rumor, it was just floated by Ken Rosenthal, is the thought that Corbin Burnes isn't going to get what he wants in free agency and may have to settle for a Blake Snell kind of contract. I would hope the Mets would be all over that. You know, last year was a little bit different, but if you can get Corbin Burnes on a 3-year deal with an opt-out after year one and pay him massive, massive money, and I find that really hard to believe. I think Burnes is going to end up getting close to what Max Fried got in terms of years and probably more money. He's definitely going to get more money. I don't know if he's going to get more years necessarily. So I think Burnes is going to take and get a long-term contract, whether it's from the Giants or it's from the Orioles or wherever. But my God, if that ever occurred, I'd be all over it. But I'm not overly concerned yet because I think they realize they need to add more atop of the rotation arm. Griffin Canning is not that, clearly.
I'm going to be overly concerned when SNY throws out a tweet that states the current pitching rotation for the New York Mets, and Griffin Canning is like sitting there at number six or seven, along with Paul Blackburn.
Well, let's just ignore that, okay? It's December. Take a deep breath. Okay. This counts as our 400th edition of the Rico Bronya. It was put together after we signed off on our 399th edition of the Rico Bronya, an hour-long Rico. And this is a brief, instant reaction, calm everybody down edition of the Rico, where we remind you Griffin Canning is not going to be the opening day starting pitcher. All right? Save that audio just in case he is. So you can rub it back in. Hey, we always give you instant reactions when need be. So there you go. Griffin Canning is a Met on a one-year $4.5 million deal. Thank you for checking us out, downloading and subscribing to yet another edition. I'm going to sleep now. Of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.